Could you take your Bible, please, tonight and turn to Acts 13? I would like to direct our attention to a passage that has really kind of captured my heart for a few weeks now. And I knew that when this opportunity came, the Lord made it quite clear to me that this is what we needed to look at in Acts chapter 13. Let us read the first three verses, our text. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." When they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. Tonight I'd like to preach a message I have entitled, "The Antioch Revolution." Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I pray You would arrest our attention. I pray You'd help us to understand and to see the truths that changed the world, the ancient world, and that is still changing the modern world in which we live. I pray You'd do something very special in this church on this night for Your glory, not our own. And I ask this in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen. It is my belief that the Antioch Revolution is soon to be experienced at Birch Terrace Baptist Church. If you direct your attention over here, what we have written on our wall, the mission of Birch Terrace Baptist Church is to glorify God by learning, living, and giving the gospel of Jesus Christ entirely by His grace. If it is true that it is our mission and our passion to give, learn, and live the gospel of Jesus Christ, then it is but a matter of time until we have our own Antioch Revolution. The history of the church in the book of Acts went something like this. If you want a basic outline of the book of Acts, you can think of it this way. Number one is church establishment. In Acts 1 and 2, what you have is the birth of the church by the power of God. And we discover that the church is not a building, it is not a property, it is not a weekend event. Church is a group of people. In fact, the actual term church in the New Testament is literally a group of called out ones. But you study in the book of Acts and you discover that the church is a little bit more than just those who are called out. They are a group of people called out to go back in with the message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. You know what church is? Church is nothing more than dead and broken people who have been fixed and made alive by Jesus and then sent right back to go to seek by His grace to convince other dead and broken people that Jesus can fix them and make them alive. That's what a church is. Those who have been called out to go back in. That's why Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, "You will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and then to the uttermost part of the earth." And so you read that the church was birthed in Jerusalem. But then the second part of the history of the church in the book of Acts is church expansion. This is from Acts chapters 3 through chapter 12. As you begin to see, by means of persecution, The gospel was forced out of Jerusalem into the surrounding regions of Judea and Samaria. And many people were coming to the Lord. In fact, during this particular segment in the history of the church was discovering that the gospel was more, was for more than just the Jewish race. It was for Gentiles as well. It was for everyone. And you started seeing people here and there outside of the Jewish race trust Christ as their Savior. But by the time you get to Acts chapter 13, which is where we began our reading today, from Acts 13 through the rest of the book of Acts is the last part of the outline in my head of the history of the church in Acts, and it is church explosion. Because something very special happened in a Syrian city called Antioch, some 300 miles north of Jerusalem. You read about the founding of the church actually in Acts chapter 11, and we're going to read about that here in just a few minutes. But in Acts chapter 11, we see that Jews were being preached the gospel to, and so were Gentiles, and a great number of both were being saved, and they were coming into this church in great numbers, this local church in Antioch. And what we just read here in Acts 13 is the time when God gave this one church a big idea. And this one idea galvanized them together as one. And this one idea eventually revolutionized their church. You see, this community of believers in Antioch saw their church through different eyes. They saw their church not so much as a destination, but as a launching pad for worldwide gospel ministry. They viewed their church as more than a place to sit on Sunday. It was a place to prepare and propel people. And this church resolved that by God's grace, they were going to reach the nations with the gospel. And they sent their own people. Their resolution sparked a revolution. Even today in churches who are following their example, who view their church through the eyes of Antioch. This is the Antioch Revolution. It is coming to Birch Terrace Baptist Church. It is but a matter of time. Tonight, I would like to briefly give you three evidences that our church, three evidences that you will know when our church is experiencing the Antioch Revolution. But before we get into those three evidences, I need to caution you. Because what I am about to tell you is dangerous. Their resolution to reach their world with their own people irrevocably changed their church. They said goodbye and Godspeed to people they loved. And if we at Burge are to join the ranks of the Antioch Revolution, then you and I will say goodbye to children, grandchildren, family members and people we love. But in the next breath, we will say, may God go with you. This is the Antioch Revolution. So three evidences when our church is experiencing such a revolution. Number one, you must have a church. It doesn't sound very revolutionary, does it? But it is. We read there in verse number 1 that something began to happen in a church. This group of called out ones, God's desire is to bring peace and joy and freedom and life to humanity. You know what God's desire is? His desire is to fix the mess we made in humanity. That's why He became like us to live the life we never could. That righteous life. Not only that, but then He did for us on the cross what we could never do for ourselves. He took our penalty. He took our place. He died so that we might live. We switched places, and then you read how Jesus commissioned His church to tell the world that He is enough. Now understand, when Jesus commissioned a group of people to tell the world about the coming kingdom of God that was breaking into the world, He didn't choose cities to do it. He didn't choose schools, nor did He choose seminaries. He did not choose philosophers, and thank God He did not choose governments. He chose churches. Ordinary churches like us. Those redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And Acts chapter 13 records for us how the fuse of worldwide evangelism was lit in the city of Antioch, and a gospel bomb was set to explode the message of Jesus to the world. And it is no surprise to read that one local church was at the center of it all. This church, let me tell you about this church at Antioch. I think you'll recognize it. This church was learning, living, and giving the gospel. Let's talk about how they were learning. We read here in this passage that it mentions 5 members of the church in Antioch. These were the leadership team. You will recognize at least 2 of them, one named Barnabas and one named Saul. Well, that's his Hebrew name. Perhaps you better know his Greek name of Paul. You have Paul and Barnabas, 2 of the leaders, 2 of the pastors at this church in Antioch. Now, we are there in Acts chapter 13. If you'll just turn back 2 chapters, I want you to read in Acts chapter 11 with me, verses 22 to 26. And I want you to see how this church was learning the gospel truths. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Well, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And look what happened. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. The first time anyone looked at a follower of Jesus and said, "You are a Christian," was this church that was being well taught in the truths of the gospel. Can I ask you a question? Is this church any different from that church? We, as you know, if you have been here, we have promoted the teaching and the preaching of the Bible. You know what we ought to do as a church? We ought to get on our knees and thank God every day that we have a pastor who is passionate and precise in his preaching of the Word of God. The Sunday school teachers of our children, first rate. The adult Bible study teachers in this church, the Kids for Truth leaders, the moms and dads who are discipling their children at home, the Christian school that God has raised up here. We are a blessed church. We are learning the gospel. But this church was also living the gospel. Back in Acts chapter 13, we see that they were serving Jesus and seeking Jesus. Did you notice that they were ministering to the Lord? This word minister is a picture of an Old Testament priest worshiping God and then working for God. Worshiping Christ with all the heart and then turning right around and then working for God with all the heart. This would include in this church praying for one another, preaching, studying, loving, meeting needs, counseling, getting involved in people's lives. You see, the love of the cross moved them to action. I love 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15. The love of Christ on the cross constrains us. There's a pressure put on our heart because we judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should no longer live henceforth unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. The love of the cross moves me. How can I remain inactive when I see the cross? How can I be self-centered when I see the cross? I see the cross, my heart soars, and then my hand serves. This is the picture of they ministered unto the Lord. You know what I'm thankful for about this church? We are involved in people's lives. We are involved in serving Jesus. Just this afternoon, 35 of our teenagers went down the road here on Brookville and gave of our afternoon to help the community Little League do their baseball fields, groom their baseball fields. Why? Well, because my family's a part of that and we want to have an opportunity to say, we love the community, this church loves the community. And they gave. Why did they do that? They were ministering to the Lord, providing and creating opportunities for future gospel ministry. This is a church that is living for the sake of the gospel. But they not only were serving Jesus, they were seeking Jesus. It says they ministered to the Lord and they fasted. This is a special season of seeking the face of God. They wanted God's mind. They wanted God's direction. They wanted God's power on their life. Now, it is my personal belief, and this is my personal thinking, that the church in Antioch had a sense that God wanted to use them for something special. Now, we are starting in our church more and more to see people praying for one another. Have you noticed that? There is a growing sense of awareness of we need God's mind. We need God's power. I know specifically of people in this church who are praying frequently that God would arise and send forth helpers into the harvest. As this church did so long ago, they were learning the gospel. They were living the gospel, but they were giving the gospel. Did you not notice that when we read back in Acts chapter 11, when the church was just being founded, that a great number of people in the community at Antioch were being added to the church, saved? Have you noticed how much more community-minded our church is becoming? Have you noticed that? There seems to be greater momentum happening here about gospel conversations taking place with folks in our community. Taking place all over Indianapolis. Do you not begin to see what I'm saying? The Antioch Revolution is coming to Birch Terrace Baptist Church. It is a matter of time. You have to have a church. But number two, you have to have a call. Looking back at our passage in Acts 13, it says, "The Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." Now please understand, the church at Antioch did not call Saul and Barnabas and eventually John Mark to launch out on this first missionary journey, this first mission team. Paul tells us that. He says in Romans chapter 1, the very first verse of the book, he was a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Nobody can call anyone to be an apostle but Jesus. In fact, Jesus said in Acts 9, verse 15, speaking of Saul, he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the Jewish race. The Holy Ghost looked at Barnabas and Saul, and they were specifically chosen and custom built by God for gospel ministry. But I want you to notice who God called. According to Acts 11:21, there was a great number of Jews and a great number of Gentiles who were being saved and added to the church. I'm simply saying the church at Antioch was not a small place. But the Spirit did not say He wanted some people the church could spare. He said, I want the best you have. And this is where the Antioch Revolution gets hard. When God calls the best we have. Your precious child. There are a lot of churches today who are accused of wanting your money. Please do not lump Birds Terrace Baptist Church in that category. That is repulsive. We do not want your money. We want your kids. God wants your kids. They're not your kids. They're His. And as the youth pastor here, I want you to know that God is doing something in the next generation in this church. He's doing something. The Antioch Revolution is coming. These teenagers are hearing the call of God. And it's only going to increase. It is said of the great Scottish reformer John Knox that his frequent prayer was, Lord, give me Scotland or I die. I do not pretend that every young person at Birch Terrace Baptist Church is in love with Jesus. I am not so naive as to believe that every young person who comes through the ranks of this church is going to live their life in complete surrender to Jesus Christ. I am not so naive as to believe that. But as long as God gives me breath, my preaching and my prayer is and will be, Lord, give me the next generation or I die. Young people of this church are becoming more serious about God's call and the kingdom breaking into this world. What God is doing. And I'm just going to make a full confession. We are filling their heads with ideas that God can actually overcome any obstacle. We are telling them He can pay the bills. That financial security is not the goal in life. And that a life spent for Jesus is never wasted. Never. The Antioch Revolution is coming. It is. Are you ready? It's going to hit. God is calling the best that we have. You must have a church. You must have a call. Number three, you must have a confirmation. Notice that God called for the best and the church, listen, joyously sent Paul and Barnabas. They recognized the Spirit's call on their life and they agreed. Oh, probably reluctantly. But they agreed. And then they released Saul and Barnabas of their duties. They prayed over them, realizing that God had called them. Please understand, this sermon is not about Saul and Barnabas. This sermon is about the church that sent out Saul and Barnabas. Our young people believe the Spirit is going to go with them. They actually believe what the Bible says. but they need you to back them up and to throw your full support behind them. You know, sometimes we don't see God's call in a young person's life because our dreams for them are clouding our vision. But when the Antioch Revolution hits this church, confirm God's call in their life. Encourage them, strengthen them, financially enable them, carry them on their way, because in the back of your mind, you know verse 4. The Spirit went with them. You know, the Spirit doesn't call and then say, God bless. The Spirit calls and He carries. He goes right along with them every step of the way. And as they stop holding on to your hand, they grasp the hand of Jesus. And He's going to take them to places that we never dreamed. I'm going to make a very bold statement, but I cannot exaggerate this statement at all. The world was forever changed because of this one church's resolution. That's quite a statement, I know, but I can back it up. Time fails me to speak of the first missionary journey. It began in Antioch, and it returned to Antioch. How about the second missionary journey, this time not with Paul and Barnabas, but now with Paul and Silas? But you see, there was a second mission team of Barnabas and John Mark. Now they were sending out more. The second missionary journey went this time west instead of east. Returned back to Antioch. The third missionary journey began in Antioch and ended in Antioch. But let me just speak for a moment on the third missionary journey. In the great city of Ephesus, such a commotion was raised up by the preaching of the gospel. Demetrius the silversmith created such a stir in the city that the city rushed into the large amphitheater of Ephesus. And for 2 solid hours, the Ephesians cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians," some 25,000 voices strong. If you visit the city of Ephesus today, it no longer exists, and neither does the amphitheater. It is an archaeological place. 25,000, that's a lot. But how many billions upon multiplied billions of people will proclaim in unison, "Jesus Christ is Lord!" Because of this one church who sent out Paul and sent out Barnabas and sent out Silas and all of these others. What was their big idea? We resolve to reach our world. But as it turns out, they reached our world. In the second missionary journey, they wanted to take the gospel east, and God said, "No, take it west." And the gospel went to Europe, and the gospel went to America from Europe. The very fact that you have been told the gospel because of the Antioch church. You realize that? One church. You have a New Testament. You love your New Testament. Do you realize that nearly 75% of the New Testament was written by members or associates of the Antioch church? Paul, Luke, John Mark. One church touching your life. When I was a little boy, my father told me a story that Luke wrote. The story that Jesus told the rich man and Lazarus. And as a young man, I realized I wanted Jesus and I did not want my sin. I trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Folks, I am indebted to the Antioch church. You realize that? Yeah, they reached their world, but they reached my world. And they are still doing that. To this very day, people's lives and eternities are still being changed by them. And yet, I would venture to say that there are people in this room who have never heard of the church at Antioch. Well, you've heard of people who came from it, but by and large, you do not know the group of people who sent these folks out. I've heard it said by somebody that the mission of the Christian is to preach the gospel, die, and be forgotten. I am not interested in making money. I am not interested in a comfortable life. I am not interested in fighting other Christians over these dumb, non-essential things that Christians get so up against. I want to preach the gospel, die, and be forgotten. I want to see the Antioch Revolution hit this church. I want to see Birch Terrace Baptist Church to be a gospel bomb set to explode the best we have to this world. I want to reach our world for Jesus. I want the next generation at Birch Terrace Baptist Church to say, 1.57 billion Muslims in the world? I'll go. We're taking a mission trip to Northern Arizona. The Native Americans. My prayer is that those who are going, though we have to physically return, that someone leaves their heart in Northern Arizona. 2 years ago, we had the privilege of going to Budapest. I pray every Friday for God to send someone back to Budapest. You were not redeemed by silver and gold. So why would you make your life about that? You were redeemed by the blood of Jesus. So why would you not live for that blood? I believe Birch Terrace Baptist Church is about to have an Antioch Revolution. Are you ready? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for this church. We don't know most of their names, but they viewed their church differently. They wanted to prepare and propel people for gospel ministry. And though it would break their hearts to say goodbye to those they love, they were so happy to do so. To be a part of something that has revolutionized the world. And I pray, if you so choose, to bless Birch Terrace Baptist Church with our very own Antioch Revolution. And I ask this for your glory. Amen.